Hopefully with the order of my steps, we got that understanding and of how blessed we are as long as we stay within his blessings. Amen. It's a very important point for us to know. Now, hopefully you were blessed starting from last week concerning the things that weaken sound teaching. The most important part of this is that sound teaching part. And to know the only way to do this, and I'm cutting to the chase, is we have to be spiritual. What we have done is replace spirituality with other things, as we've seen, as we do the review, we'll go over those. And we still keep doing that. And I mean, we're doing it in such a bad way that we're convinced that we're still being the Christians we're supposed to. And this is why you see so many differences in Christianity, and we're all supposed to be one. We're supposed to be perfectly like-minded, so why isn't it like that? It's because we've replaced the true thing, spirituality, with all this other junk. Let's review. First of all, Eve failed by allowing her flesh, what she saw, to overrule her faith, what God said. Simply put, okay, she allowed her flesh, what she saw, to overrule her faith, what God said. So you see these things, right? Today, the walk is not matching the doctrine. It's an easy check. But instead of us going with that, we go with what we think. I hear people over and over again kind of give, well, I'm doing this and there's nothing wrong with it. And you're going, but the Bible says. And you try to say it the most simplest way. You're doing this thing, but what the Bible says, you're not in line with. And they'll give you all these other answers and what these other people say because we've stopped doing spirituality, what God says. And just following what he says. Everything must be through sound doctrine. Remember how I explained and showed sound doctrine? The key is it has to be what the complete Bible says. You remember the part when Satan tried, one of the deceptions he tried to use against Jesus, he gave him scripture. But what Jesus came back with, it is also written. And he didn't use his scripture to cancel out the scripture that Satan gave. He gave it to complement it to give it better understanding. Yes, this scripture is right as long as you're not doing this. That's how scripture works. That's what makes it sound. I need all of the ingredients before I can make a final decision. Be careful not to be that one scripture Christian, okay? Because you can be misled. Man started serving self and avoids sound doctrine. Man started going after what he wanted, not what God says. Okay? And because of that, once again, in the wrong direction. Man has replaced spirituality with one of or a combination of ignorance, which we went over last week, emotion, which we're going to go over this week, intellect, or culture. And it's going to fall under each or one of these things, either which way. Okay, in a way that we are allowing these things to replace how we see and have a relationship with God. Okay, how do we do with ignorance? Christians are not to live in ignorance. And you still have Christians that are doing it. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not studying your Bible, if you're not receiving the word, if you're not, when you don't understand and you're not pursuing that understanding, you're living in ignorance. And he said, that's what the Gentiles used to live in. Because you're left to yourself. I think some people think, and this is ignorance, that when I get saved, the Holy Spirit is telling me everything. The Bible is an option. It's not what the Bible teaches. Do y'all get this? In fact, you're actually not engaging the Holy Spirit when you're not engaging your word. Did y'all get that? Okay? You have to know your word not to live in ignorance. And Christians are not to live in ignorance. Christians still do it. Ignorance is a product of hardened heart. A hardened heart is when we allow what I feel and the things I think to stand firm or along with God. Like some of us come in with traditions and ways we think, and we'll hold on to those because they were great. But then I'll follow the Bible in these other ways. That's a hardened heart. That's stubbornness. It's something that's keeping us in ignorance. Comfort. Comfort, believe it or not, keeps us in ignorance. You think about it, we did the order my steps on, or no, actually we're doing the Bible study on being complacent. Because we get into a place, and we like that place, and I know if I find out God says to get out of that place, I'm not going to like that. Think about that. How many of you are in a situation, in a relationship, in a job, in something that you know, if I find out I have to leave here, I'll be heartbroken. Instead of going, let the heartbreaking begin. Do you understand this? God, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Some of us are, I love it just the way it is. Please don't change anything. And so we become ignorant, getting half the story, like the example I just gave earlier. We read pieces of the Bible, right? I told you one of the things books will do that's very dangerous is exactly that. They'll use the Bible to support their idea instead of supporting the Bible. Think about that. Let me think of an idea, then I find scripture to support my idea. I could do it. It's easily done. And that's what the prosperity preachers have done. They said every Christian should be rich, not just rich, beyond rich. You should have all kinds of riches. And they took some verses by themselves, exactly what it sounds like. Until you get the other scripture that's showing you, no, that's not what it says. But if you don't have those other scripture, you're like, yeah, I'm supposed to be rich. And then they get caught up in some dangerous, crazy things because the Bible said people who want to get rich fall into many griefs and sins and things of that sort. But they didn't read that part to you. They just read, you're supposed to be rich. And simply being a fool. One good book out of the Bible, of course, is the good book. But when you go into Proverbs, Proverbs really defines a fool. So I don't have to say you're a fool when you don't have to say, because that's dangerous. We can't define somebody as a fool. They'll get the understanding of what a fool is based on the Bible. And you'd be surprised on some of the things it says not to do. I was saying there was something at work where I was frustrated with something in a situation, and I vented. And that's a fool, believe it or not. Some are going, but I feel better when I vent. I know you feel better, but that's not what the Bible says. Do y'all get this? Because you voiced your concerns. Now I feel better. And somebody listened, and that was great. It's not always a good thing, believe it or not. But if I didn't know the Bible, I'd continue to do that. I would encourage you to do it. Until the Bible said, no, it's not how it's supposed to work. We talk things out. We work through things. I don't just vent based on what the Bible says. So we understand these are things that cause ignorance. We must be alert of false teachings and treat the word as precious. So another form of ignorance are those who are studying, but were selectively studying, right? Selective. I told you I grew up in one minister I loved. Loved this guy. He loved us as teenagers. He connected with you. He was personable. So he did that part right. Stuff he was preaching was wrong. But because we loved him, we took what he said. We didn't check anything as young men. It wasn't until something questionable happened that something even came up, and then it made me go back and start searching other things. And it was just blowing me away on how many things we were taking in that had nothing to do with God. Immediately, I should have said, I got to check what he's teaching me. But I did not. That's why I even tell y'all, please check me. Check everybody. And you'd see if we truly did it, an adjustment or a change. So it lets us know we're not truly doing it. Because once again, because of the comfort. We must be spiritual, knowing ignorance is a choice. Okay? So in other words, I have to spiritually understand that ignorance isn't something that happens. It's something I choose. One reason why we offer small groups, we offer different studies, we have things after services, we have order my steps, why do I give all this stuff? To make sure you can't say, well, he didn't teach me enough. Now it's my choice. Do y'all get it? Because even if I just gave one thing, right, especially today, we have access to so much material that we can study from. Are we pursuing it? We usually only pursue it when we feel. We're going to get on that feeling part. But are we truly pursuing it to gain his word? We must test what? Everything. Test everything. I don't care what anybody brings me. I listen to it, then I check it. I don't care how they say. I've heard people come and tell me this is convincing. Let me tell you what it did. Tell me their whole story. Sounds great. I'm checking it. You have to do that because there's only God defines good, and God will let me know what's evil. And he says to hold on to the things that are good and avoid all kinds of evil. But if I start thinking things that are evil are good and thinking things that are good are evil, I'm going to be distorted and confused. So I got to test it based on what he says. And finally, only God-given ignorance is required and accepted. What do I mean, God-given ignorance? There are certain things that God tells us, and that answers it. Period. Some things that are too wonderful, as you read in Psalms and what Job says. Some things he just says, because I said so. As we read in Romans 9, when he said, it's based on my mercy. Has nothing to do with what you want or how hard you work. It's based on my mercy. And some of it you're not going to understand. So you just got to trust me. That ignorance is so important. Because some of us, when it comes to where God lets us know, you know, this thing is a secret thing, I'm doing it. Some of us will go, well, I'm not doing it unless God tells me why. Right? This is another reason why in training up our kids, sometimes it's good to say, because I said so. Do you understand? Because you have kids that look at you with, I'm not doing it unless you tell me why. I mean, you know, back in the day, you would wake up picking up things off the ground. You just don't do that because you have to look at understanding. They told me. They are the authority. It's nice when they explain it to me, but they are the authority. Do you understand this? And the ultimate authority is God, if we would treat him that way. But we treat God as a partner that we have a choice to work with. God, I'll do it as long as you explain to me. But if I don't want to do it, I know you'll still love me. Yeah, he loved you. He let his son die for you. Do y'all get this? So understand, that's the only ignorance. The rest of this stuff, we have to let go. So today, emotion, I can say, is by far the most dangerous one out of the four. Okay? Now, some people, we make the mistake of saying women are emotional, men are not. That's not necessarily so. Women are emotional in a different way than men are emotional. Okay? You can kind of display or see a woman's emotion, and men display it in another way. Okay? We have more of a restrained, hold it in, I got this, I don't want to deal with it emotion, while a woman has more of a, and these are stereotypes, you're right, it's not saying everyone is this way, I'm just giving you an idea of what's out there, has more of an expressive, I feel, I want to display emotion. But they're both emotion. Okay? And our emotions are never to have the last say. Okay? Think of your emotion not as a compass telling you where you need to go. Think of your emotion as a thermometer of where you're at. Did y'all catch that? All right? So in other words, some of us will say, I'm mad, so world, you must understand, I'm mad, so you better adjust yourself because I'm mad, so obviously that's right. That's the compass. That's wrong. Thermometer is, man, I woke up today and I'm feeling irritable, but I have to show love, and I got to be patient, and I can't be easily angered, so I make sure I'm getting to where I need to be. Because remember, you take your thermometer and you put it in, and if the temperature's not fitting in the range it's supposed to, you have to make adjustments. On the compass, you're in the wrong place, knowing I have to go to this place. You follow that. So my emotions are just my thermometer to let me know, Keith, what is your temperature and how do you have to act today to be in line with God? Because the only true temperature is God. Do y'all get this? So as we go through this, I'm hoping we engage and understand you're going to always have emotions, but they are never to be the answer. Never, ever. Do y'all get this? And unfortunately, we've destroyed so much that some people even blamed emotions and called it the Holy Spirit. Have you ever felt very strong about something and said, the Spirit is telling me? Time after time, I've seen people say it, and they would say stuff that's so against the Word of God, and they would insist, this has to be the Spirit. No, God's not going to go against God. Test the spirits, he tells us. And immediately I'll tell somebody, you know that's not in the Bible. No, the Holy Spirit told me, and you're just like, oh. And you feel sick because they're convinced. They're firm because it's a strong feeling. Y'all get this? All right? We all get them. Now, I know we have things like intuitions and bad feelings about a situation that turns out to be right. And that's normal, and that's going to happen. Okay? I'm not saying the emotions are always wrong. I'm saying they never are to be the purpose. Okay? Never are to be the purpose. You can hint and think about it and go, I'm feeling a little weird around this person. I'm feeling bad about going down this way. But then you have to, as a person and a Christian grows, they learn to distinguish between their emotions or their conscience and the Holy Spirit. You'll know the difference once you stop allowing your emotions to play such a big part in your lives. Let's get an understanding of emotions. First of all, emotions, a strong feeling about somebody or something. Okay? And the key word, feeling. Okay? Hunger, anger. Anything that you can think of that's driven, okay, by you is this emotion. When I say by you, it's because somebody did something to irritate me. Have you ever had something and it bothered you? You went and told somebody else, and they went, well, that's no big deal. The reason why it's no big deal because it didn't bother them. That's the only thing. So it's individual thing, right? And it's something we have to discover and understand. That's why I have to be careful. When somebody says they're bothered by something, I can't belittle that something. However, I can't allow that something to be the answer. You know how many times I have to tell couples this? Because one of the biggest struggles when people get married is I'm looking for the other person to feel the way I feel. That's wrong. Do y'all get this? It's not supposed to work that way. Us two coming together in the Lord, learn how to work together. Now that's a challenge. Because sometimes I have to compromise. Sometimes I get it's an adjustment based on God, knowing my role in Him. But if I allow my emotions to lead it, you're doomed. And today's marriages are doomed because they're emotionally led. I can even say in my own at certain times, especially in our younger years, there are certain things I knew God said clearly. I didn't feel like going through it. Right? My wife would be mad at me. You know what I mean? And if she's even said sometimes, there was one time she was like, I know you're doing what you're supposed to, but I'm still angry. And I had to choose between her being angry with me or me going against God. And I wish I can boldly say, and I've always picked God. No. They're sometimes like, okay. You know what I mean? See how dangerous emotions are? That's why I get it when I hear the story of Adam and Eve, and he just took the fruit and he ate it. And he was like, you know what? Right? And that's dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And this is why none of us could ever use our emotions, because you can be a huge stumbling block to people. Men in our reserved silence can destroy instead of doing what we're supposed to. Women in your outspoken how you feel can destroy and mislead. It can never be that thing. The Bible shows in Galatians 5, 16 through 17, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Desires of sinful nature are equal to emotions, because it's what my emotions want. He was like, but if I live spiritually, what God says, this will never happen. Do y'all get this? In other words, I want to do something, but the Bible says, guess what's done? Simply put, my emotions will not play a part. He says, if you just do that, you won't do this. And he gives you why. For the sinful nature, which is the me factor, desires what is contrary to the Spirit. What does my emotions want to please? Me. Spirit wants to please God. Did y'all catch that? All right. So Satan engages the emotion. He engages our senses. Right? Have you ever smelt something and go, man, I have to have cake today? Right? It's like, that's senses. You're reacting based on that. Or it can, and remember, emotions can go reverse. You smell something and go, ooh, I'm not even hungry anymore. Have you ever had that? In which your senses can now make you one way or the other. When I'm spiritual, I don't care how I feel. If God told me to eat, I'm eating. If God told me I can't eat, I'm not. Y'all see the difference here? My senses won't play a part. I'll just recognize what God said. It says it's contrary to what spirit, and spirit is what's contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. So this is where I have to disengage my emotions. Now, disengage means doesn't mean they'll go away. I am by far still one of the most emotional people I know. You understand that? In other words, it still exists. I still feel it when I go through things. But how I react has to be spiritual. Has to be spiritual. Do y'all get this? I have to react based on what God says, not what I feel. There are things that'll connect, and I got to catch myself and go, Keith, don't you dare. You have to do what God says, not what you feel. All of us are walking emotional battlefields, if you like it or not. That's why I tell people, be careful. Don't just say, I'm fine. Please don't do that. There are certain things people have done that hurt, and if I go, yeah, I'm fine, I'm lying to myself, and instead of doing what I'm supposed to with that emotion, I put it somewhere. Have you ever seen somebody, when they snapped out on something that was so small, and everybody's looking at them like, what just happened? It's because they took their emotion, and they put it somewhere. There's a verse that tells us, and we're going to see this, to take your thoughts captive. That means, like, ooh, that bothered me. Oh, we got to work with this, right? Not, I'm fine. I'm okay. And then you react. And I'm responsible for that reaction. God's not going to go, well, they kept holding it in because they're a good person. No. He said, I told you how to deal with it. Why are you dealing with it that way? That explosion you just had is because you dealt with it your way, not my way. It says in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray. two things, right? Not, I'm fine. It's, ooh, that bothered me. That's the watching. And to pray, dear Lord, give me the guidance and the insight that I need in order to deal with this thing when it bothers me. Did you catch that? Right? Immediately. Yep, that did bother me. Yep, I do have a problem with that. And I don't want that problem to ever get in the way of what I'm supposed to do. It says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Because the minute that emotion connects in, you'll react. Next thing you know, you're disliking a person or treating a person different. And God's not going, yeah, I get it. He gets on my nerves too. No. That none of that will ever fly. You'll go, man, there are people that can annoy me. Man, I go after them and I'm as nice as I can to beat my body. Why? Because something about them annoys me. And you can't allow that because the flesh is deceptive. Do y'all get this? We react based on what it says. And that's why he says the spirit is willing. Your spirit's always going to do what God says. Why do you think God keeps saying to love your enemy? He doesn't just say love everybody. He's saying especially love your enemy. He knows. He's giving you a title of the people that their job is to hurt you. And he's telling you to love them. So he's showing you, no, I mean this. There will be no excuses. There will be no, oh, I know how that person is. I understood how you treated them. No. He says, spiritually, I'm going to bypass how I feel. He says, but the body is weak. What are you going to engage? Spirit or your body? Are you going to go with how you feel or what he says? Did y'all catch that? Okay. The feeling will still be there. You always heard me say, if somebody at work gives you a hard time, do what? Take them to lunch. Right? And it doesn't mean you're going to come back and you're all going to be best friends. You may even dislike them even more. But you're going to still keep loving them. Do you understand that? Because here's the problem. For that person that gets on your nerves that you don't like based on you, I can assure you there's somebody out there that you're it to them. Amen? And you're like, well, how come they don't take me to lunch? Well, because they didn't hear my sermon. Amen? All right. All have dangerous feelings, including Jesus. Some people struggle when they hear this, but watch this. Pay attention. Matthew 26, 36 to 38. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. Okay? He was watching and praying. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. He began to be sorrowful and troubled. That's the emotion. He began to feel this. This something started overcoming him. Okay, you can't really do anything about that. That's why I'm saying when people say, don't say you're fine, understand this may affect me. I got to make sure I'm not affected. Right? I may feel annoyed. I just better not be annoyed. Go into a situation with your spiritual guard up of, I'm going to go in here and things are going to be said, things are going to be done. And I better react in such a spiritual way. All they see is Christ. They can't see my annoyance. They can't see my anger. They can't see my love. And when I say my love, I'm talking about my, which is not love, it's desire. You know what I mean? Have you ever seen people when they're attracted to somebody and their eyes get all weird and they get all glazed over and you can see that they're so into that person because they allow their emotions to get away with them? Doesn't mean you're not going to feel that way, but that same feeling is what gets people in the worst relationships because they allow their emotions to go, I think we're in love. Have you heard that story? When I seen them across the room and I knew this person was going to be, and we say all this other stuff. A couple years later, how do I get away from this person? And they can't stand them. And I, do y'all see? Because why? We allowed the emotion to take over both times. Not realizing this thing is sacred. I better take my time. Hi, how are you doing? Right? Don't give away anything. Poker face. What you show them. But Jesus had a, he was sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow. That means the flesh was just overtaking him. Not a sin, because he still had flesh. It says, to the point of death. That's a deep depression where people want to commit suicide. Did y'all catch that? Jesus is fully opening himself up to of how our emotions can now go into play. So we usually take meds to stop that instead of spiritually dealing with it. I'm not saying the meds are wrong. What I'm saying is we depend on them and not depend on God. We pursue the meds and the therapy, outside therapy, to help us to get away from them instead of God's internal therapy in order for us to deal through them. Do y'all get this? Okay, we have a power that helps us deal in it. He says, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. And what he didn't say was give me the pills. What he didn't say is take me to a therapist. He went to pray. Y'all get that? He says, stay here and keep watch with me. So Jesus even showed he went through this. Do y'all get this? And you're going to go through it. So when people tell me I'm fine, and they can, like I said, you have some people that are just very good. Their look on their face is the same, and whatever is driving them. Now, when I'm talking about emotions, I'm not always talking about the ones that hurt and make you feel depressed. I'm also talking about the ones that make you happy and make you feel good. The danger with those, you'll pursue that, even if it's wrong. That's why I just use the example of meeting that somebody that you are now immediately attracted to, and now you want to be with them, and you'll say crazy things in the first 5 minutes of, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with them. Right? And then you'll react that way. And you'll live in that path until later on the emotion now goes in another way. And you're like, I want to get away from them for the rest of my life. And not realizing you're emotionally driven, tossed back and forth instead of being spiritually stable. I told you one girl, she was in my same class, but she went to another school. But I got to know her. And this guy, man, he would go after her all the time. And he would want to take her to the prom and all this other stuff. And she was kind of play it off and so on and so forth. And she got married. And I talked to her years ago. I was like, what is it about him you didn't like? She said, I was crazy about him. She was like, I couldn't get him off my mind, but she was brought up in the church the right way. She said, but I could not put it together of how this would work in God. As a young teenager saying this, she was like, I thought about him. She said, I would be in tears. When he asked me to the prom, it was my biggest dream, but it kept coming back. Why are you fooling yourself? And she just let him down. No. Do you understand that? Y'all see, now she was spiritually minded enough to get past her emotions because the emotions were there. She didn't say I was attracted. She said I was crazy about him. But she was able to control it because she was spiritually led. Now, if that teenager is able to do it, and all of us can do it through God if we allow God. Y'all with me? All right. Emotions come from you and are based on you. Romans 8. 5-8. Romans does an excellent job of breaking down 7 and 8, really breaking down how this whole thing works. Actually, 6, 7, and 8. Those who live according to the sinful nature, once again, when the Bible says sinful nature, you can replace that with flesh, you can place that with emotions, and you can place that with human nature. Okay? So he's saying, if that's what you're living by, and that's what it's based on, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mindset on what that nature desires. So most are sitting in church today, and what you're hoping to get from God is what you want, if you're being honest. You already have a set line of things that you desire, and you want God to fulfill those. How can I get God to give me what I want? Because your mind is set on that. You're living based on you and what you want. Okay? You have a lot of stubborn people, and they're stubborn because they want God to curb to them, not realizing their stubbornness is only hurting them. Do y'all get this? We're not engaging God. It says, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit. Now, how do I know if I'm living in accordance with the Spirit? In other words, everything I do, you'll be able to go, well, that's in the Bible. This reaction, well, that's in the Bible. Not, well, why'd you do that? Well, the way I felt, the way I seen it, do you know where I'm going with this? Right? You do it based on you. I mean, you were able to know if you saw Paul not eating meat ever again, that's spiritual. Because there's nothing wrong with eating meat. Well, hey, Paul, why did you do it? Because it was causing my brother to stumble. I'm not eating it again. No problem. We go, why should I have to suffer because you are so weak? Isn't that what we would do? If we're being honest, we would blame them for being so weak and I'm so strong. Instead of being spiritual. It says they have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death. No matter what, headed to hell. You like it or not. You can call yourself a Christian. If you're living for the flesh, you're headed to hell. Can I make that any clearer? Because we have a lot of people who have convinced themselves, yeah, I'm a Christian, and they would be insulted if you said otherwise. Not realizing you're still going the wrong way. God is not going to go, you meant well. When he already gave you the answers to be well, right? He tells us to enter the narrow path. So why do we keep taking this broad path and we still want credit? It's not going to work that way. It says, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Going back to emotion, if I was spiritual, this is where a lot of the meds, a lot of the depressions, a lot of the frustrations, a lot of the overexcitements, a lot of the overbearingness, the things we get wouldn't affect us. What I didn't say is they wouldn't be there. Y'all get that? Oh, they'll exist. You'll still have the overwhelming feelings. You'll still have the underwhelming feelings. Those will still exist. But when I'm spiritual, they will not have the effect. I'll still be able to live my life. If I could write on a piece of paper what I felt compared to how I have to live, it's such a vast difference. But you'll see people. And this is where we then start injecting with drugs and over drinking and other things to try to fill in holes. And then, like I said, sometimes to our demise, and people go to that way. And we love worldly therapists because they cater to the emotion. Spiritual therapists cater to the spirit. We hate that because we're telling you in the spirit to deal with it. Emotional, I got to fix this. Let's turn it off. Let's make it go away, right? But he's telling you, no, no, no. If I live by the Spirit, I get life and peace. But watch this. The sinful man is hostile to God. When I'm living based on me, I'm fighting God. It says, it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So those carnal, that's what you hear people use the term, carnal Christian, there's no such thing, because I can't live carnal and still be a Christian. Okay, I'm either or. All right. And that means either I'm living for God based on what his word says. So I'm here getting the word. I'm doing what I can to understand so I can apply it, or I'm not. Two choices. Where do you fall? And not what you think. Give the answer on what you see. Ask a prayer partner. Ask somebody, how do you see my life? And I want you to be honest with me. Right. You'd be surprised. Well, you're selfish. You do stuff for yourself. You do all that. And when they start hitting you with those words, instead of you being assaulted, go, thank you. Right? I'm going to check with somebody else. Thank you. Check with. After you gather all the things, you're like, wow, I'm living for the sinful nature, not for your spirit. The qualities they're supposed to see is light, not me. Right? Do y'all get this? Okay. It says, it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Cannot. You can try as hard as you want, it's not going to happen. I told you, one of the grandkids, I tell them speech all the time, just do what your parents tell you. It's as simple. And I'm thinking it's a simple answer. That's all my speech should be. They struggle with that for some odd reason. And it's not just them, it's a bunch of kids. In which, just do. I even see that work. They gave you this thing to do. Do this. You'll be great. Things will work out perfectly. Do y'all get this? You know, I got a chance when my brother was in the hospital. They had the nurse that came in the emergency room did an outstanding job just by doing her job. Just by, all she did was her job. She didn't have to do anything extra. She didn't have to go out of her way. She just did her job, and she did it extremely well. And that was very noticed. You understand that? But that's how we are supposed to be as Christians, to where when God goes, he'll say, well done, because you just did what I told you. Now you get these that are extra. Right. I'm going to be a Christian, but then I'm going to do this extra stuff over here. God's really going to be impressed. OK, Peter. Y'all saw the trouble Peter always got in because he always did extra. The rest of the disciples probably sitting there going, I'm glad it's Peter doing it. Don't worry. Watch what Peter says. Peter's going to do something crazy. But you understand this, because Peter went overboard instead of just doing what he told him. Amen. Just follow him. Stop allowing how you feel to get in the way. Our emotions are the true source of sin, believe it or not. Bible shows us. James 1, 13 through 15 says, when tempted, no one should say God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. This is what, once again, using sound doctrine is how we understand the Lord's Prayer when it says, lead me not into temptation. You're good. Why would we ask that if God doesn't tempt me? Because of this. It says, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. That's how I know it's not him tempting me. It's me tempting me. So I'm saying, when I go, give us this day our daily bread, when I'm asking for what I want, I'm saying to him, please don't give it to me if it will tempt me. Did y'all catch that? Okay. I'm saying to him, I asked you for something, but I'm saying, please don't give it to me if it's going to be the thing that's going to drag me down. That's how prayer should work. Not, well, I want it, I'll deal with it. Because you have people in here that go, man, if I can get that kind of money, I'll be happy. And I'll be fine. Right? And you see it destroy their lives. We get stuff, not realizing there's responsibility that comes with everything. So it says, each one is tempted when by his own, and evil is not even in there, desire. So I want something. That's the first phase. Okay? Dragged away and enticed. Well, you deserve it, Keith. Everybody else is doing it. So-and-such does it, and he's fine. How come you can't have that? Look at them. They're enjoying it. How come? You see, if y'all go through the same thing, I'm not crazy. I know that. You understand that, all right? And what you see, and you have these same emotions, which lead you into doing what you want, thinking God signed off. You fool yourself, and that's what the dragging away and enticing starts happening. You start thinking of ways of getting around and doing it on your own. It says, then after desire has conceived, now it's there. You're going to do it. That's what it's saying. Right now, now you're just, when am I going to do it? How soon am I going to do it? Now, it went from thinking of a way to do it to, yeah, I'm going to do it. It gives birth to sin. You do it. It's not a sin until you do it. Do y'all get this? All right. Now I act based on what I wanted. All right. I still have a way out because I sin. I can repent, move on. But when I stay in it, oh, nothing happened. I'm okay. God doesn't mind. Look at them. They're not bad. So on and so forth. Sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Y'all catch this? People do things based on what they desire, what they want, not what God says. The biggest reason, if we're being honest, if you made a pie chart, time spent with God, time not spent with God, how would that look? Right? Unless you're on a diet, that piece of pie is very small. Right? Even if you're on a diet, you're like, that's not a diet, that's starvation. But if you're being honest, how much true time, quality time, are you spending with God? So that means now you're being engaged with the entire world, and the world makes sense. And the world engages you. The world is saying, I'm here for you. Right? I'm here for your desires, how you see things. We're going to talk about this later, too. Your desires, how you see things, all right, and boasting about you. Isn't that the three things it says? Do not love the world or anything in the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. It says, for the world, and it entices whatever you desire, the lust of its eyes, and the pride of life. That's what the world does for you. And we keep embracing the world. Man, we're happy. I know a lot of people right now, that if you saw their lives, they're very comfortable, they're very happy, and they are in danger. Remind me of the church of Laodicea. They are so comfortable, they think God has truly blessed them, not realizing, man, you guys are in such a deep danger because of your comfort. Amen? Emotions are great. Now, once again, that star means this is showing where God's emotions fit in. Emotions are great as long as you are in control, not your emotions. God gave us emotions, okay, but not for them to control us, but for us to control them. That's why he says in Galatians 4:16-18, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Let me stop there. You know how many times I feel that? As a pastor, I'll give what the Bible says. Now, I've had people go, well, you can't say that. And I ask a simple question, but why can't I say that if it's in the Word? They can't answer that. They're going strictly off of that. You can't say that to anybody. They want me to hinder or slow down sermons that are based on the Word and be careful based on people's emotions. Now, for disputable matters, I need to take care of your emotions. Do y'all get this? Disputable matters, things that are not within His Word, that are in a boundary. Like He said about the eating meat, had nothing to do with it, so I'm not going to bring it up. We'll leave it alone. Do you understand that? But things that are definitely in the Word, if you're insulted by that, I can't do anything about that. You understand that? Okay, and you hear me say marriage is between one man, one woman married to each other. That's it. And somebody's go, well, I'm offended. Nothing I can do about that. Y'all get that? Your feelings can be hurt as much as they want, but it's nothing about your feelings. This is truth based on life, not on your emotions. Okay, and it says, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? He's saying, so I'm giving you the Word. And now you're mad at me. He was like, these people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. So you see their passion or their emotion or their desire to win you over. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may be zealous for them. So their goal is just that you follow them. Nowhere did he say their goal is for you to follow God. They just want you to be passionate for them. All this is an emotion. He says, it is fine to be zealous. Nothing wrong with having emotion. Nothing wrong with be passionate. Here's the key. Provided the purpose is good. What is good? God is good. Provided. So my emotion can go through as long as it's good. And to be so always, not just when I'm with you. It's funny. I got to see a couple of concerts in my life, and especially in a Christian thing. And what became the struggle is a lot of us are more passionate at some of the musical concerts when we like the music. Amen? We're not going to say amen? No, maybe a little bit. And that's the truth. Emotionally, there are songs that connect. People know how to write songs to connect your emotions. If I don't like it, I don't like the song. You get it? The words can be outstanding. But I've seen it happen in both cases, in many cases where people have gone somewhere, and because they like the song, all of a sudden you're in tears, you're just praising God. Now, they could play the exact same song, different words. My wife did that. There's the song that she played. We heard it from one. I think the person who did it, it was okay, right? Words exact same. Another person saying, it's like, amen, praise God, wow. He's saying the same thing. Do you get it? But you see how our emotions react. Isn't that crazy? And unless I engage that, I'll then get mad at people for not liking what I like. They'll get mad at me for not liking what they like, instead of us realizing that part in the middle, meaningless. Amen? All right? Have you ever heard something? You just thought it was so spiritual. The thing that's funny is back in the day, you know, a lot of the music was classical music. And what people don't realize is classical music, when it first came out, was the hard rock that we hear today. Classical music was hip hop back then. You got where I'm coming from. Wow, you listening to that? We don't listen to that. And when they made songs out of it, Beethoven was just, he was a rebel. How dare you listen to this guy? Right? Go back in history, you'll see. They did not like him. Now he's classical. He's this. So our music should sound like that. It sounds angelic. It drives me crazy when people say that, because I don't know anybody heard an angel. But they say it. They'll put these words out because if they like it, it's what they think, not what God says. Nothing wrong with enjoying something. Just be careful not to allow your emotions to engage you to think, everybody must feel this way because I feel this way, right? And just as you can feel that way for a spiritual song, same thing can happen with a love song. Same thing can happen with a song that's speaking to you. Same thing can do it with a political song. Think about it. Music can have that effect if you are not guarded. So he says, people are zealous to win you over. He says, it's fine to be zealous provided the purpose is good, and to be so always. So in other words, you'll go to every group, and as long as they're preaching God, you're going to praise God. In the back of your mind, say, I don't like this song, but praise God. Do you get what I mean? I love this song, but praise God. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? It don't have nothing to do with it. You won't go because my emotion, I'm going to praise God, but because when it's other groups singing, I'm not going to praise God. See how foolish that is? So my passion or my emotions have to be controlled by me, not the other way around. And he says, not just when I'm with you. Y'all catch that? Everybody get it? All right. So that's God gave us emotion in order for us to be in control, for us to have the final say of I'm going to like this even though I don't like this. Emotions not monitored will be the source of our corruption. Okay? So Satan's goal is to have us to put our guard down. Then I'll react emotionally. He says in 2 Peter 1, 3-4, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promise so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. We just talked about this in Order My Steps. We all have access to be godly. So when I still see people act in attitude, still react in frustration, still react based on self, with a I can't help it mentality, y'all see the problem here. Okay? They're allowing their emotion to overcome God's power. God said, I gave you everything you need for it. There's no excuse, but you keep having excuses. Why are you still emotional in this? Well, I can't help it. Yes, you can. We all have the ability to. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So now why are you saying you can't help it? Help it. It's going to be no excuse with God. So you better fix it now. Do y'all get this? Because for me to say I can't help it, I'm calling God a liar. That's deep, isn't it? And that's exactly what we're doing. We're saying God is a liar when I say I can't help it. And he told me, not only can you help it, I'm doing it through you. It's like, may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. From the beginning, and we keep doing it now. And we're doing it to the church. Emotions have seeped into the church. We're going to churches with our itching ears and telling ministers, we want you to preach this instead of this. Make sure you don't talk about this. When you do talk about this, make sure you do this. And we're folding it to make us feel better. And ministers going, well, if I don't do what they say, they're going to leave. And I know firsthand they will. You know, I've been asked multiple times when people would come, can you not? And I would go, I would totally not do it if you could show me in God's word where I have to stop doing it. And they couldn't. But they just didn't like it. Do y'all get this? And what am I supposed to do? And some of them left. Y'all see this? And it's a struggle because this is what caused the world to change. This is why you see the church changing when it comes to marriage, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to how we raise our kids, when it comes to how we are with our money. We did that. We went in there, yeah, that's great, God, but if you just did this, it would be great. Right? Emotions are very dangerous when I'm not monitoring, going, wait, I'm getting ready to go against God. It's never acceptable when I go against God. Uncontrolled emotions weaken the power of the word in our lives. Okay? Know this. Matthew 13:22 says, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word. So you come, you receive the word, or you read the word, one or the other. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and proves unfruitful. Now, let me show you this. You can't get away from the cares of the world because you're in the world. Everybody's going to have them. Your bills, your health, people around you, your job, the economy, all that stuff's around you, okay? That's there. And the deceitfulness of riches. I think all of us have in our minds, if I just had, correct? If I just had. And for some odd reason, you got billionaires who for some odd reason think, if I just had. What? Seriously? And why are they miserable? They got tons of money. That's what I just said I have. I had that kind of money, I'd be fine. Why are they miserable? Why are they struggling? Because it's deceitful. Riches are deceitful. But we still chase after it. We still work ourselves to death for it. And what do? They choke the word. I can assure you in many of these sermons, it's going to hit you. You're going to say, amen, it's going to do something for you. And then the minute you leave these doors, something of life is going to happen. Totally forgot about it. We'll never hear talk about it again. And Satan's like, yes. And that's what happens. You know it's something you should have changed. And by the time you hit that door, it's gone. Right? God go, I told you. You're the one who chose to let it go. Everybody say chose. Okay? So it's your choice. Don't make it. See, we make it as, but I'm so busy and I got so much on my mind. He was like, stop being so busy and having so much on your mind. It's going to be there. Make sure God is the purpose in every case, because it'll choke the word and proves unfruitful. The word is the seed. That's why we do fruit every year. Seed is worthless if it doesn't grow into fruit. So you coming here, worthless if it doesn't grow into fruit. Satan doesn't care if you go to church as long as it doesn't grow into fruit. Do y'all get this? You just being here totally does nothing until you allow it to grow in the fruit. So I don't want it to choke the word. I need it to grow. And then as you grow, you can now benefit from the fruit. Amen? All right. God has allowed uncertainty in life in order to reveal if we are learning upon emotions or faith. If we're leaning upon emotions or faith. So he allowed certain things. So this is a powerful thing for us to understand, and this is why he gives us this command. But how many of us are really doing this? If we're being honest, how much when you get a financial or whatever change in your life, does it change what you next do? Right? Say you're going to lose your job, something happened with your health, something happened with your finances. What is the next thing you do? Watch what he says here. Matthew 6:25-33. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. That should never be a worry. All right? Never. However, when then he goes into an explanation. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Right? How many of you see birds on Prozac? And I'm saying that because there was one time we had an overhang on where our house is, and we had the bird that kept trying to lay his. He laid a nest there one year. So next year I said, I can't allow him to do that because his college is in a lot of mess and he would almost try to attack if you go there. So I put a bar up there that he would look, and he kept coming back over and over again saying, how can I put a nest here? You could see him just flying there over and over again, over and over again. And I think he ended up putting it on some tree over in the other spot, but you're seeing the same bird continually coming back. But he just kept doing by his instinct and depending on God. But I didn't see him in the yard walking, going, I can't even fly anymore. What am I supposed to do? I found the perfect house in this man. But do y'all see where I'm going with this? Okay? In which we take it and it destroys us. Right? And then we overtake it and then it takes us down and then it changes us and we want people to understand our change. God doesn't say that. That's why I can't endorse that. He says, isn't all that more important? And that's what he tells you. Look at the birds there. They do not sow or reap or store away in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. So you look at plants and how beautiful they are, and they just are what they are. Do y'all get this? They just allow God. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, so here's the command. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Here's what he's saying is, there are going to be times where it's going to look like, I don't know what we're going to do about food. I don't know what we're going to do about clothes. I'm looking, you know, I may lose out these things I need, is what he's saying. He was like, no, don't worry about them. Now, worry is an action, okay, in which you now respond based on what am I going to do, and you start reacting. And God, once again, 2008 was a perfect time where you sat there and you watched Christians react against God. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? You don't understand. You don't see what I'm going through. Because we react based on what we have and what we think we need, not realizing who is our provider. Right? And God does it to say, let me see who really knows I'm their provider. I'm going to take this job away from you. I'm going to take that talent away from you. I'm going to put some young person in that position. Who is your provider? Is it you, Keith? Do y'all get this? Y'all see this? In which I'm going to provide. Now, what he doesn't say is don't worry and do nothing. That's not what he says. And that's why some people go, I'm not worried. God will provide. Isn't that what we say? The answer is no, unless you do this next part. He gives us the answer. So he doesn't say don't worry, period. He says no. He says, for the pagans run after all these things, your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's a whole sermon in itself. That's what you should be doing. You got where I'm coming from? You'll see me pursuing God's government or his kingdom the way he wants me to be, how I'm supposed to be with my family, how I'm supposed to be around people. I'm studying, I'm growing in that, I'm learning that. I'm not letting anything take me away from that. And his righteousness, right? Because this righteousness down here is not righteousness. And remember, there's the ingredients of righteousness, okay? It's love and faith, all right? And you understand, you put those two things together and you understand that's what I should be doing. What we should have seen, Christians becoming stronger Christians. It's not what we've seen. And we still don't see that. You still people still doing other stuff instead of doing this. Okay? All right? And it says, and all these will be given to you as well. That's a promise. He just gave you a God promise. Then why are we not taking him at his word? If I would do this. Now, doing this will require me to work because part of his kingdom, if a man doesn't work, he won't eat. Y'all catch that? Okay, so I have to get that understanding in both ways. That understanding of if I'm not following his word to a T, yeah, you might as well worry because you're outside of God. If I'm not loving the people I'm supposed to, if I'm not following my authorities like I'm supposed to, do y'all see how this works? Then yeah, you need to worry. However, if I did and I show God he is my provider, my emotions won't have a play because I am totally seeking him and he'll take care of it. Then I can go, God got this. You see a job that you may not desire open up. And what do? You'll take it because it's what I got now. For some odd reason, God wants me to be here. That's what I'm going to do. Right? Not, I'm going to wait around and see what God gives me. Amen. So we understand how this whole process works. He allows the uncertainty to show our true dependence on him, not your emotions. Not your emotions. Faith, not emotions, will allow us to live completely committed to the Lord. Okay? Faith, not emotions. I want to check something real quick. Okay. Let me do that. Now I gotta go all the way back to the where I'm at. Sorry about that, y'all. All right, so faith, not emotions, will allow us to live completely committed to the Lord. So truly know what faith is. We did a whole sermon on faith, so understand faith, because that's what you're supposed to be living by. That has to be the driving force in your life. And faith isn't what a lot of us are doing right now. Like I said, a lot of us are doing, I've seen somebody do this, I wanted God to do this. And this is why even when we're comforting people, don't comfort them in their sight. I don't want you noticing what you think you're going to get. I want you to trust in God for no matter what you get. Do y'all get this? Be very careful not to comfort a person in sight. Comfort them in faith. It says in 1 Corinthians 7:29-35, what I mean, brothers, and we've seen this in the order of my steps, is the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as they had none. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use these things of the world as if it were not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. So he gives us all that none of these things can be the purpose. Never ever. Okay. And the thing I love is he gave the things that are frustrating and the things that are happy. Because I could tell you right now, I've seen people who went through something and they really enjoyed it so much and it was the driving force. I told you people who have gone on vacation, really enjoyed a vacation, and it destroyed all the rest of their vacations. Because the bar now went here. Instead of knowing, I'm blessed just to go on vacation. Right? That moment I'm happy, that's gone. Not, why can't it all be like the summer of... Y'all get that? You ever see people that do that? Or have you eaten something and now you're chasing after that? Can we get it to taste like this? Well, obviously not. Enjoy what God has given you. Don't let your happiness be your driving force. So in all these cases, they can never be the purpose. But he goes on to say, I would like you to be free from concern. So now he's giving us an answer on how concern isn't driving my life. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs. At least he should be, right? An unmarried man is focused. This is one of the reasons why he started it with it's good for a man not to marry. Okay? He says how he can please the Lord. It says, but a married man is concerned about the affairs of the world, how he can please his wife. Did y'all catch what he said? Pleasing his wife is a worldly concern. Did y'all know that? Okay? We live to serve God, not to please others. But it becomes a part of it. That's one of the reasons when I counsel, I'm not working on you pleasing one another, living you serving God. And it says, and his interests, it says how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, once again. How she can please her husband. So it becomes more emotional, and if we're being honest, pleasing each other becomes the primary. God fits in there wherever it can. In fact, some of us think pleasing each other is the holy thing. Right? Told you I got advice from somebody one time in the marriage. They were talking about, you got to treat them like a queen. They have to be spoiled. They have to be this and that. Sounds good, but it's wrong. And very dangerous. When women go, I got to treat the man like the king, and he has to be this, and I got to make sure he's very wrong and very dangerous. Do y'all get this? This is very emotional. Your guidance and everything has to be to God. He says, I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. If Christians were doing it right, me and my wife as one body would be living for the Lord. How it should work. It's not how it is working. People will call marriage good when one or the other is pleasing each other. Right? When the first things they say when they go to counseling is, well, he makes me happy. She makes me happy. He does this for me. She does this for me. Right? Not, man, we can together serve the Lord. I really found a partner in the Lord. Right? Do you hear that? Nope. You hear me and what they're doing. That's a deep one, and we don't talk about that. We'll close on this. Any emotional attachment to the world separates us from God. Any emotional attachment to the world separates from God. James 4:4 says, you adulterous people. So he first hits you, not with an insult, but a fact. Okay? Adultery is doing something against who you're married to. All right? We as the church are married to Christ. We're engaged. Remember, that engagement was just the same as being married. You understand? So we are now in that part, we're engaged. And he said, look at you guys. Don't you know that friendship, just being a friend of the world, is hatred towards God? Now, what kills me is today, and you look at politics, we're doing with politics. When we get the culture, you're going to see it with that. When you do with heritage, you see it with that. You see it with a lot of things that we're doing in which we're embracing things down here in the name of the Lord. And God's like, wait, how are you embracing something that shows hate to me in my name? Do y'all get this? Right? If it's based on the world and you're embracing it, you're telling God you hate him. And I bet you've never ever said you hated God, while all the more you are living in hate of God. And he makes very clear, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. It's automatic. All right? And if we're not careful and we keep living adjacent with these things down here of the world and still calling ourselves Christians, we are fooling ourselves while fighting against God. Do y'all get that? All right? There is no partnership. There's no politic out there that's in God. Absolutely none. Okay? You can say, well, this has this. You'll pick out stuff of it, and I can pick out the stuff of it that's not of God. So if you're not completely for God, you're against him. Do y'all get this? Doesn't exist. Stop fooling yourself. Cut it out. The Bible lets us know, stop being enemies of God. This includes pride, politics, selfish ambition, allegiances to anything other than God. Let's let that sink in, and we'll talk about it more, God willing, next week. Amen? All right.